Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, 1 through 2, we're going to take a look at here. This thing is fresh. Finished last night at 9 p.m. I put about 6 hours into this message of study and putting it together. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but, underline it, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Today I want to talk about and break something down that is so important to us as Christians. This is one of the many reasons that Christians start to feel very unfulfilled in their Christian walk. If this one thing doesn't take place in the heart of a Christian, they will remain a slave to negative circumstances in the natural realm. Lacking this one thing in your heart will short circuit or cut off the power of God in your life. We talked about short circuiting the power of God last week in those five enemies, right, of the will of God. The Holy Spirit literally says in this passage that I just read that if this thing is not active in your heart, active in your life, the word of God that is preached to you or that is revealed to you, it says it will not profit you. Say profit. We'll get more into that in a moment. But I want to talk about and teach about this, the importance of mixing the word of God with faith in your heart as a Christian. Mixing. Oh, say mix. Yes. Now listen to this. This is interesting. The word mix is defined as this, to combine or to put together, to form one substance or mass. Let me say it again. The word mix is defined as to combine or to put something together to form one substance or mass. I find it very interesting that in the definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1 is the word what? Substance of things hoped for. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God tells us to mix our faith with the word of God. He tells us that it will be profitable for us in our life. Profitable. Ooh, I like that word. Say profit. Profit. Listen to this. The word profit means this, to get back or to earn more than what you put into something. That's a good thing. Amen? Even a mustard seed of faith generates powerful results and is profitable in your life. We'll talk more about the mustard seed here in a moment. But God is revealing to us that faith in the Word of God will cause us to get a greater return or a profit from what we originally put into it. That's just how the kingdom of God operates. The Word of God talks about different levels of faith, does it not? It even talks about the effectiveness of, like I just said, the mustard seed of faith. But I want to remind you of this as I talk about the mustard seed of faith. Even faith the size of a mustard seed has no doubt and it has no unbelief mixed in with it. Because if it did have those things, it wouldn't be faith anymore. Are you following me? So that must not be what Jesus is trying to get across to us about the mustard seed, all right? Because if we have doubt and unbelief anywhere, it's contaminated by that doubt and unbelief. Many people want to zoom in on that teaching on the mustard seed. They want to zoom in on the size of a mustard seed to make an excuse to have doubt or unbelief in their life. Did you hear what I just said? Well, it's just, I got a mustard seed. No, you're full of doubt and unbelief, really. Right? But again, I don't think that was the point that Jesus was trying to make. Let's take a look at this. Go to Matthew 17 real quick. Matthew 17. This is going to be very interesting here. Jesus' disciples, they were trying to cast a demon out of a young boy, and they couldn't do it. So I'm glad they asked. They asked Jesus, "Jesus, why couldn't we cast this devil out of this kid," right? Matthew 17, 19 through 20 here. It says, "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.'" That one verse shows me there's no doubt or unbelief then in a mustard seed. Amen? Jesus tells us that even faith as a mustard seed has the ability, has the authority, and it has the power, come on, to even move mountains. Did you just hear the same thing I did in that verse? Now, go with me to Matthew 13. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 13. Speak, Holy Ghost. Matthew 13, 31 through 32. Oh, I'm going to share some deep truth. Someone's saying, "Well, Pastor, didn't you just talk about faith just recently?" Oh, you just wait. Listen, there's different levels. It's like going up the same mountain from a different perspective and looking at it. Matthew 13, 31 through 32. "Another parable he," Jesus, "put forth to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches.'" So Jesus tells us that a mustard seed, he said, is the least of all seeds. Now, some people say, well, Jesus was talking about the size of it. He could be talking about the importance of it. When people think of a seed that grows something, you know, significant, the mustard seed doesn't really come to mind. Amen? But he tells us that the mustard seed is the least of all seeds, meaning it is small, it seems insignificant, but it has the ability, listen to me, to grow a very large bush. Did you know there's no such thing as a mustard tree? It's a mustard bush. But it grows 6 to 10 feet, and people just call it a tree. It's really a bush. It's a pretty big bush, all right? But it's big enough that the birds of the air can build a nest in it, all right? The problem isn't the level of faith. The problem is that most Christians, listen to me, don't maintain faith long enough until the manifestation comes. Did you hear what I just said? Because there are different levels of faith. So even a mustard seed of faith has amazing potential in connection to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God being released on this earth. A few spoken words, listen to this, a few spoken words released in faith, even with a mustard seed of faith, can produce amazing results. It's not the amount of words, it's the power behind the words. Faith of any amount is profitable in your life as a Christian. Now, it's possible to have little faith without doubt or unbelief. It means your thoughts aren't negative. Listen to me now. So people think when you have little faith or, you know, you have just a little faith, people think, well, there must be doubt or unbelief mixed in it. No, there isn't. The Holy Spirit said this. You can have a little faith and not necessarily have negative thoughts. Did you just hear what I just said? He said some people have little faith, but they just have neutral thoughts. They don't have doubt or unbelief thoughts with it. Are you following me? It's getting real quiet in this little church today. So listen to this. Faith in connection to or mixed with the Word of God is always powerful, is it not? The power or the effectiveness of our spoken words, it's not in the number or the amount of spoken words. It's in the faith that's released behind those spoken words, right? So the Word of God on its own, how many of you know This book right here, the Word of God on its own, apart from us, is quick and alive. It's powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Do you believe that? Hebrews 4:12, you believe that? But the Holy Spirit reveals to us that the Word of God, this book that's alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, it will not profit any area of your life unless it's mixed with faith. Just because you're confessing the word and nothing's happening, that's not a problem with the word. Did you just hear what I said? It's a problem in your own heart. All right? But he says it will not profit our life if it's not mixed with faith. If you want it to profit you, if you want it to profit every area of your life, it has to be mixed with faith. If you want the benefits of the Word of God to profit your life, it must be mixed with and combined with your personal faith. Where? In the tank of your heart. Say, the tank of my heart. And this is the picture I got as I was writing this. Like any recipe, just say a recipe for a cake. How many of you know you can get all each separate ingredient and you can set it out on your counter in the kitchen separately? Amen? But that doesn't make the cake. That's just the ingredients for it. Come on, somebody. Those ingredients must be mixed together to form one substance. Did you hear what I just said? The one substance is made from separate ingredients. If you want the Word of God to profit your life, you must mix it with faith in your heart in what you think, say, and do. Now, here we go. Ready? Say, I'm ready. Faith is spiritual. Faith is of the heart. Faith must be in your heart. Faith is not some abstract idea or concept that you have no clue about, right? That you can't understand, all right? In other words, you know if you have faith and you know if you don't have faith. Amen? Amen. Jesus didn't say you wouldn't know if you had faith or not, but rather he commands us to have faith. Now, if you're questioning if you have faith, you probably don't have faith for that thing. Did you just hear what I said? If you're questioning whether you have faith or not, you probably don't, right? Let's just be honest. You'll learn why in a moment, because I'm going to break this whole thing down. I'm going to break the ingredients down of faith and make it very simple for you guys of what kind of ingredients you need to have faith. But we are commanded to believe and trust the written Word of God. Again, listen to this. God wouldn't command us to have faith if it was impossible to know if we have it or not. That'd be crazy, right? God has put enough evidence in his written word, obviously, and enough revelation from the Holy Spirit to be able to give us a clear understanding of what faith is. So I want you to stop thinking that faith is just some magical pie in the sky, abstract thing. Do I have it? Don't I have it? Listen, this isn't like COVID. Well, I don't have any symptoms. Well, you got it anyways. Are you following me? If you got faith, you're going to have symptoms. Amen. So listen to this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's one of the ingredients of faith, hope. Now, I'm using hope as an ingredient to faith because you can't have faith unless you first have hope. But you could also say this, that hope is a prerequisite to have faith. I'm saying it's an ingredient. Amen. But you could also say it's a prerequisite. It's got to be there for it to even be converted into faith. There are three ingredients to faith. If you're taking notes, you might want to jot this one down. There are three ingredients to faith. And again, I'm using hope as one. So hope is the first ingredient. Substance is the next one. And evidence is the third one. Hope, substance, and evidence. That's what the word says. Now, hope is a confident expectation for the future. It's a desire for something you don't possess yet in certain area of your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's something that you don't possess in the natural realm, we'll call it. All right? That's hope. You're desiring something for the future. I desire this. I want this in my life, whatever it may be, that from the Word of God. But it's a confident expectation, not just a, I wish I had this thing. It's a confident expectation. It's a knowing, listen to me, it's a knowing that this thing will come to pass in the future. It's a knowing it's going to come to pass in the future. You got to grab onto that right now, all right? That must be active in your heart first. If that's not active in your heart, it's impossible to convert it into faith. To move into faith. If you have a desire and a confident expectation or a trust in God for that thing you're desiring, whatever it is, if you have hope, listen to what I'm saying. Ready for this? You already are 33% closer to receiving that thing because there's three ingredients. If you have hope, you're 33% there. You following me? You dig? Now, so you're 33% closer to receiving that thing. But don't stop there. Say, I'm not stopping there. Because hope still doesn't receive anything. Faith does. Amen? So don't stop there. Hope is not the main ingredient in connection to faith. You can't remain at the hope stage and receive anything from the Word of God. All right? But yet, hope must be active for faith to even become a possibility. You picking up what I'm laying down? Now, let's move on to the next ingredient. Hebrews 11:1 says this about faith. Substance of things hoped for. Say substance. Substance of things hoped for. You see why hope has to be in there first? Because faith is substance of what you're hoping for the future. Amen? The main point in connection to hope is substance. Substance of things hoped for. Substance, like I said, is the second ingredient to faith. Here we go. The Greek word. Oh, here we go. Let's do some word studies. The Greek word that is translated substance means this. Ready? It means assurance, confidence. It means reality. It also means, as you heard in the prophetic word, the title deed or legitimate claim to something. That's substance. Now, it's not just hope now. Now you have the title deed for this thing now. Here's what God is revealing to us about faith right now. Turning a hope or a confident expectation for something, a benefit, Psalm 103, 1 through 5, forgetting out all the benefits, right? Come on. Receiving a benefit or a promise in the Word of God in the future, it must be converted to substance on the inside of your heart or thought life with an assurance, a confidence, a reality in your heart that you presently receive that thing at that point. Did you just hear what I said? So now it's not hope anymore. Now, there's been some shift on the inside in your heart that it's not just something I'm going to receive. Man, all of a sudden, the light bulb went off and you received, I have it now. I have it now. But you don't see anything in the natural realm yet because it's a spiritual receiving. Are you following me? You doing all right out there? So future tense must become present tense. Future tense, hope, must become substance or present tense. That's what faith is. It's present tense. That assurance on the inside. All this is happening in the mixing pot of your heart. That assurance, that confidence, that reality, that spiritual reality on the inside of our heart. It's the title deed. It's the legitimate claim of that specific promise that it belongs to you presently. It belongs to you personally. Are you following me? Not just Jack down the street now. No, it belongs to me. It's mine. I got the title deed for this thing now. Now, that substance, or in all of those things about what substance means, all those definitions, it should, when you have them, listen to me, it should create positive emotions on the inside of your heart. It should produce a joy in your heart. It should produce a peace in your life and so on. Again, it should produce positive emotions on the inside of you. It should make you feel amazing and great emotionally. Did you just hear what I said? That substance of things hoped for should positively activate your imagination. You should be seeing yourself with this thing that you're believing God for. Has anybody had that before? Has anybody experienced that before where it shifted from hope, future, boy, and all of a sudden it just clicked on the inside now? It's not, I have it now. Not just future, I have it now. But you don't see anything in the natural realm yet. Again, you can't be focused on the natural realm. This is a spiritual receiving. Amen? Now listen, here we go. I'm going to keep plowing through this. Now you know why I told you to go to YouTube after you go home, okay? That substance of things hoped for should positively activate your imagination. You should be meditating on that blessing or promise and be able to see it. You should be able to see it on the inside of you, right? Pink elephant. You guys see a pink elephant on the inside? That's the movie screen you should be seeing yourself receiving that blessing in your spirit. That's your spirit man right there. That's your imagination. Your imagination is a part, by the way, of spiritual sight. Your imagination is a part of your spiritual eyes. Did you know your spirit man has eyes? Amen? So the three ingredients of faith are hope, substance, and evidence. Say hope, substance, and evidence. I'm going PhD level today. You know, here's the deal. We'll never get there. If I never were to teach this, you're never going to get there. Are you following me? Oh, I'm only used to running a mile. Well, you're never going to go beyond that if you don't go beyond that mile. So maybe part of what I'm saying here, it feels like it might be going over your head. But trust me, one day you're going to get it. Are you following me? It's going to click. So just keep listening here. So I talked about hope and substance. Now, what does evidence of things not seen mean? It's not seen in the natural realm with your physical eyes, but should be seen with your spiritual eyes of your heart, with your imagination. You should be able to see this thing on the inside. Amen? Now, here we go. The Greek word that is translated evidence means this: a conviction or proof on the inside. A conviction. Say conviction. Conviction or proof on the inside of your heart. A conviction in spiritual terms means this: a deep or unwavering belief or a certainty of a spiritual truth. Let me say that again. A conviction, a spiritual conviction, means a deep, say deep. This isn't shallow where someone can just come and say something and it knocks it off. No, this is deep in your heart. You believe it. Amen? It's deep, unwavering belief, a certainty of a spiritual truth on the inside of your heart. A spiritual conviction shapes a person's life. It affects their actions. It affects their purpose. It affects their emotions. It leads a person to a strong moral compass. All right, so a conviction is not just some weak, waverly thing. No, you believe this thing. Nobody, how many of you know, when you got a revelation about maybe the topic of healing or some topic in the Word of God, it was deep in your heart. I mean, it's nobody's going to, and someone tried to talk you out of it, and you just laugh right in their face. Because it's like, okay, it's too late. Yeah, like me with deliverance ministry. A Christian can't have a demon. It's too late. We're probably about over 1,000 people, 1,000 Christians beyond what I meant. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to shake me on this. I've seen too much. It's there. The evidence is there. Amen? So a spiritual conviction positively affects what you think, say, and do. A spiritual conviction is very hard, like I said, for a person to talk you out of. Again, it's planted deep in the heart. Now, here we go. Listen to this. This revelation came to me about personal faith and the ingredients of faith. The substance of things hoped for, the dynamics of things in connection to substance. Listen to this. So the connection, all those definitions about substance I gave you, all right? Those things, the hope and the substance are totally up to our free will. We got to possess those things. That is up to us. That's our free will to believe the word of God. But the evidence or the conviction on the inside of us is helped along by the Holy Spirit. Did you just hear what I said? That us having a hope and then a substance, okay, that's up to us and our free will. But the evidence, that deep conviction in our heart, the Holy Spirit's given us a little help for that conviction on the inside. Now, so listen to this. The Holy Spirit is always trying to reveal truth to us and to teach us. But when our free will specifically takes hold of those things that the Holy Spirit is showing us and revealing to us, and when we take hold of those things, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to take us deeper into that truth. You doing all right out there? Did praise and worship wear you all out today? I know I should have stopped two songs earlier. No, just kidding. Listen. So when we have hope, when we have substance, that means we're latching on. We have this assurance of this about healing in the Word of God or whatever the blessing is. When we latch on to that with our own personal faith, the Holy Ghost says, thank you very much. I'm ready to step in now. And I'm going to give you deeper revelation of that truth. I'm going to show you how to apply this to every area of your life. I'm going to give you conviction on the inside of your heart about that thing. That's why it's hard, very hard to move, right? And because of that invitation to the Holy Spirit to go deeper into faith, we are rewarded and blessed with greater conviction, greater truth. So mixing the Word of God with faith in your heart means this: to make each specific benefit and promise your own reality in your life. It means to take it from words on a page to a living reality and conviction on the inside of your heart and in your life. All right? So the mixing pot, like I said, where's all this mixing taking place? The mixing pot to combine and stir the ingredients of faith and the Word of God is your heart. Say, it's in my heart. Now, so you are planting a mustard seed of faith in your heart for each specific promise, and you will eventually see it become a reality in your spirit, soul, and body, all right? Now remember, again, I can't stress this enough. This is the most, this is where Christians go off on the wrong exit. Faith must stay active in your heart until that promise manifests in your life. Whatever it is, maintain it. You got to ride this thing out. If you don't ride it out, it's short-circuited and you start the process over. Don't disengage your faith. When you disengage your faith, you either do this. You either go back to the first ingredient of hope, right? How many have done that? All of a sudden, yeah, it's mine. Then you start to get discouraged and then you say, yeah, someday I'll have it. Are you following me? Which is really, some people try to say it's hope for the future, but it's really doubt and unbelief. We got to just tell it like it is, or else nobody's going to be helped in the body of Christ. Amen? So don't disengage your faith. So don't do that. Faith is spiritual. Faith is taking hold of spiritual blessings and pulling them into the natural realm. Faith is believing you presently received a spiritual blessing that's in the process of manifesting in the natural realm. So that's why you have to act as if you already have it in the natural realm, but you don't see any evidence of it in the natural realm. Emotionally speaking, I'm talking about. Now, here's where I get that. It's a spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3 says this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every what? Spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessing. It doesn't say blessings in the natural realm. No, it says spiritual blessings. That's why faith has to be used to pull a spiritual blessing into the natural realm. That's the whole essence of faith. Amen? All right. So, God has made a spiritual provision for us to receive in the natural realm. And that, you could say it this way, that mode of transfer, that highway is called faith. Amen? Now, some of you are like, isn't it just faith? Isn't it just faith? You got to know the dynamics of it. How does it work? Amen? Or else, that's how we stay baby Christians. We stay baby Christians. Sure, you're going to go to heaven, but don't you want to experience heaven on earth?
Yes.
Well, then it's going to come through faith. Amen. When what you are believing you received in the spirit realm appears or happens in the natural realm, we call that a manifestation. That's what manifestation means, when you actually see it taking place in the natural realm. So in the waiting for that manifestation, maintain the belief, a knowing that you have received it, you have the substance, the evidence, and you have the conviction, you have the title deed for that blessing. It's yours. Rejoice. Don't walk around moping. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. Mixing faith with the word of God, it must be intentional. Say intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. It always happens on purpose. Amen? You must mix faith with each promise in the Word of God. Sorry, there are no blanket deals in the kingdom of God. Do you hear what I just said? Your faith must be mixed with each specific promise in the Word of God. All right? You must be very specific. Listen to this. Don't ever forget this. Faith must have an intended target or focus. Your faith, your personal faith, talking about receiving, must have an intended target or else it will not work. Again, there's no blanket prayers. Be very specific. Faith has been referred to as this. Ready? The hand of faith. Say hand of faith.
Hand of faith.
I like that. Because you are grabbing on to something. You're grabbing on to something. You're taking hold of a promise, something specific, and you're pulling into the spirit realm with your faith, and you're pulling it into the natural realm, right? All right. Now, personal faith to receive from God must have a specific target, right? Like I said, faith is like a missile. It needs a target. It needs a target. In other words, there must be a focus on that thing you want to receive. Again, nothing happens by accident in the kingdom of God. Go with me to Mark 11 real quick. Go with me to Mark 11. Mark 11, 20 through 24. I don't know if I ever read this passage. Have I ever read this passage? No, I don't think I have. So, yeah. All the time. You guys are no fun today for some reason. You know, here's the deal. There's a lot of shallower churches in the area if you want just seeker sensitive stuff. I'm not going there. I'm going to go deeper. Amen? Hallelujah. Mark 11. Faith is one of the topics that just is amazing to me. Amen? There's something so special about it. All right. Now, it says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I want to point out that faith is specific and it always has an aim. It always has a target or a focus for something it desires to receive. Hope, by the way, is specific as well. Did you know that? Hope is very specific. The difference is in future tense and present tense. You following me? So hope and faith are very specific because you're desiring something, right? In this passage, Jesus makes it very clear that faith is very, very specific. In verse 23, he said, whosoever says to this mountain, say this. He didn't say, if you say it to the just mountains in general, no. He said, to this mountain. Very specific. And if you don't doubt in your heart or in your thoughts, but believes that those things, say things, he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So you must be specific as possible, not general when you say or when you pray. Did you just hear what I said? Do not be general when you say or when you pray. Be very specific, very specific. In verse 24, Jesus said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Things and them, Jesus is talking about, be specific. Not pacific, specific. Now, here, listen to this. This was interesting. On Wednesday night at our Deeper Waters Bible study, by the way, if you haven't come to those, you start coming. They're powerful, aren't they, whoever shows up? Right, you two? Anybody? No, I'm just kidding. We actually have a pretty good crowd for a midweek service, actually. But on Wednesday night at the Deeper Waters Bible study, we talked about faith in connection to our spoken words. It was a powerful discussion in Bible study. We talked about what the Bible calls idle words. Say idle. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Pastor's just plowing along here. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. And this is powerful. Listen to this, what Jesus said. Either make a tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle, say idle, idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now listen to this. The Greek word that's translated idle in connection to spoken words means this. It means empty, lacking purpose, lacking value, careless, or unprofitable. Or words that are filled with doubt and unbelief. So if you look at the opposite of that definition, it reveals what our spoken words should be filled with, right? They should be filled with faith, purpose, value, not carelessly spoken. And they must be profitable to ourselves and others around us. Amen? Just by that definition and understanding that, that means we must think and choose our spoken words very carefully. We must speak words that are acceptable and within the boundaries of the Word of God. Amen? And we must speak words that are birthed, filled, and released with faith. Now, it's possible to speak words that are idle and empty. It's possible to speak words that are idle and empty words, words that have no power, words that have no faith, right? Come on. And words that have no power to bring a manifestation into the natural realm. And that, when idle words are spoken, it literally means this. There's a disconnection between your spirit and your tongue, your vocal cords. There's a disconnection. Idle words really means that there's a disconnection between your spirit man and your vocal cords when you speak. The Holy Spirit gave me a vision on Wednesday night of a bicycle that lost its chain. And that person was pedaling fast, I mean super fast, but was not moving because the chain fell off. Do you remember that when you were a kid? You were riding your bicycle and all of a sudden the chain falls off and you look like Fred Flintstone's feet, right, trying to get his car moving. Are you following me? There was no forward movement, but there was a lot of pedaling going on. There's a lot of effort. That is a picture of idle words that have no faith, that have no purpose, that have no value in them. Your spirit is disengaged from your spoken words. There's no active faith in your spoken words. Many Christians are confessing the word of God, but they're not doing it in faith, but rather they're doing it with idle words, or they're doing it, come on, in desperation. Desperation doesn't receive anything. Faith does. We got to get you from desperation to faith. Amen? There needs to be faith attached to them words for mountains to move, for the power of God to be released in a situation or in the natural realm. The Holy Spirit then gave me a vision of a bicycle that had a chain connected, and there was positive forward movement and momentum. This is the main point the Holy Spirit was revealing to me. Faith is spiritual, and it comes into and is formed in on the inside of us, and then it's released from our heart through our vocal cords. That's powerful words right there. When there's faith in your tank, is your faith tank filled? Come on, somebody, because you can speak words with no faith connected to it. Or, come on, idle words. It's possible to speak those things and there's no traction, there's no momentum, there's no authority, there's no power in it, there's no value, there's no purpose. The chain of faith is disconnected in your heart. We got to reconnect that chain. Amen? When we speak idle words from our spirit man through our vocal cords, it's like a bicycle without that chain. It's worthless. It's not fulfilling any purpose. Amen? For why we were created. God, do you know God created us to be, to walk in his power? God created us to be creators. Did you know that? Yes. Come on, somebody. That's why Jesus said, have the God kind of faith, where he believed in his heart and he spoke it and it was created. Amen? Amen. That's what we were created for. Many of you think you're down here. No. You're created for a greater purpose. Amen? When we speak words of faith through our spirit man, through vocal cords, it's like that bicycle with that chain connected. There's movement. They are profitable words. All right. Now, what do you do? How do you get from a place of no faith and idle words, all right, to a place of faith, a place of purpose, value, authority, and power? Now, Jesus said in Matthew 12, 33 through 34, he said that a good tree brings forth good fruit and a bad tree brings forth bad fruit. Makes sense so far, right? Well, that tree that Jesus was talking about, the tree is us. That tree is referring to our heart, all right? The fruit is what we think, say, and do. But specifically, in Matthew 12, Jesus is connecting that with our spoken words as the fruit. Amen? He said this. He said, for out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks, right? So spoken words are a revealer of the condition of our heart. Amen? All right. Not just the words that we speak, but even this, the Holy Spirit even said to tell you this, what kind of atmosphere those words create. How many of you know? You can say something in many different ways. You create an atmosphere with your spoken words. Amen? In verse 35, Jesus says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth good things. I put it as a math equation. A good man or person plus good treasure equals brings forth good things. Or an evil man or evil person plus evil treasure brings forth evil things. Do you hate me now that I did a math equation? Okay, no. But do you want good things or evil things in your life? Good things, right? Now, Jesus said this, that good treasure or evil treasure. Treasure, listen to me, treasure is talking about specific things that you are focusing on in your heart or in your thought life. That's what you're treasuring, what you're meditating on. It's either good or it's evil, right? It's going to make your heart good, it's going to make your heart evil, and it's going to bring forth good things, or it's going to bring forth evil things. Amen? So the bring forth is talking about what kind of a manifestation that person is transferring from the spirit realm into the natural realm, either good or evil. All right? So Don't worry, I'm on page 9, almost done. We'll get you out of here. Wow, it's even before noon. You can laugh. It was kind of a joke, but all right. You're right. Come on. All right. Here we go. Now, okay. So where the Word of God talks about good treasure or evil treasure is talking about what you place value on in your life. That's all that's talking about. And think about it. What you place value on in your life is what you're going to meditate on. What you're going to think about. Come on. What you're going to make room for in your life. Amen? God and the Word of God, or everything that's against God and the Word. Amen? Good treasure are all the things that are within the boundaries of the Word of God, the promises of God through Christ. Evil treasures are all the things, again, outside of Christ. Right? That's why the Word says, abide what? In Christ. In the Word. That's what that means. So if you want to mix faith with the Word of God, you must first and foremost value and treasure the Word of God in your heart and life. That means you're going to think about Jesus. You're going to think about promises in the Word of God. Amen? You're going to place value on them. All right? So take the needed time to hear the Word, all right, to meditate on the Word. You first and foremost, you got to value that in your heart. It will become, listen to this, it will become a treasure in your heart when you allow it to renew your mind, to renew your thoughts, renew your desires, renew your priorities, when you allow it to renew. Come on, what you think, say, and do. Page 10. All right. So I put a post on Facebook. If you guys follow me on Facebook, I put a post on there this week. The Holy Spirit dropped this in my spirit so clearly. And I'm like, I gotta shoot this out to the people, right? And it says these words, prayer does not renew your mind, but hearing and getting the Word of God in your heart will renew your mind. Many prayers are not answered because they are coming, come on, from a place of an unrenewed mind. As your mind gets renewed with the Word of God, the more effective your prayers and your spoken words will become. Isn't that good? When we have an unrenewed mind, our spoken words become idle. They become faithless. They lack purpose. They lack value. We become like that bicycle without a chain. Spiritually speaking, there is no movement or traction in your life. Amen? Renewing our mind with the Word of God will cause the three ingredients of faith to be planted in our heart, and it will cause them to grow. Hope, or a confident expectation. Substance, or assurance. Confidence, reality on the inside. The title deed, or legitimate claim of something. And evidence, or a deep conviction in our heart with the help of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the substance is our part. That's our free will taking hold of this promise, a promise. And then the conviction, we get a little help from the Holy Ghost. Amen? So church, I got, there's a lot of information and spiritual gold nuggets in this message, but everything I spoke in this message leads back to one truth. Just one. The Word of God is of no profit in your life spiritually, physically, financially, or whatever, and so on, without it being mixed with faith in your heart. Don't just hear and read what you believe from your personal comfort zone. Believe what you hear and read in the Word of God. Amen? Allow the Holy Spirit to spiritually stretch you. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you in your spiritual growth. Process and help you in life in general. Amen? So allow the Holy Spirit to enlarge the territory of your heart and life as you what? Mix the Word of God with faith. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on forward. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Do not leave this place without doing that, please. Come down even right now and come to stand in front of one of the prayer team members and say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Now, maybe there's someone here, you've fallen away from the Lord. Maybe there's someone here, you didn't fall away, but you know, you just, you got a revelation today on faith. You got a little bit more understanding, another piece of the puzzle, so to speak, and you want prayer for that. You want more understanding. Come on down and pray with one of the prayer team members. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, it's always on the table ready for you. Amen? You don't have to tarry. You don't have to wait. Amen? If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. Now, I did want to tell you, Andrew and Allison wanted me to remind you the Young People's Fellowship, 18 to 35, they're meeting at their house or their apartment, and there's a sign-up sheet in the back. That's this Friday. So there's a sign-up sheet if you want to come to that. Sign up for that. Is there anything else going on this week? Anybody? Prime Timers at Biagio's on Thursday. So I'm out of here. Have a great day. Have a great week, everyone. Love you.